Walt Disney World bring joy and inspiration and new knowledge to all who come to this happy place. A magic kingdom where the young at heart of all ages can laugh and play and learn together.
Hey everybody, it's Bart Johnson here, aka Coach Bolton, and you're listening to the happiest podcast on earth.
Jumbo everyone, what's up and welcome to the happiest podcast on earth. In today's episode, we discuss what we feel is worth the cost and what we feel you should avoid when looking to purchase certain items inside the Walt Disney World Resort. For those of you that are new to the podcast, make sure to visit our website, happiestpodcastonearth.com, to join us on social media, ask us questions, listen to previous episodes, visit our merchandise shop, and more. For those of you who can't get enough of the show, you can also head to our website to join us on Patreon, where your support can get you early access to episodes, bonus content, and episodes each month, special giveaways, and more. Also, anyone can join us on Facebook for our happiest pregame, where we hang out and talk to you all live before we record each episode starting at 8 p.m. Eastern every Tuesday night again, not Mondays, so make sure to mark your calendars. And with all that being said, let me introduce myself and your happiest podcast team for episode number 83. My name is Jarrett Fenema, and I am joined here today by AJ Mulholland.
Hello, hello.
Lauren Del Toro.
Hey, y'all.
Mel Gio.
Hey, everybody.
Andrew Bailey.
What up, everyone?
And Hunter Hazen.
Hey, hey.
We're only missing Corey. Corey, we love you.
He's here in spirit.
Do y'all have anything fun to talk about? On the episode.
Sorry. What? I was saying, technically, he'll be on the episode.
True. He could edit himself in and say, hey, what's
up? He should.
Corey, now's your chance.
Miss in spirit, guys, I'm here every week. I haven't missed an episode. I'm 10 feet away behind the glass in the studio.
Do you guys have anything fun to talk about before we get started?
As always.
Okay.
Did you?
We talked ourselves out in the live. You know,
it doesn't even have to be fun.
We did talk a lot in the live. Let's see. This will be posted next week. Oh, so next week after you're hearing this, I will be back in the parks.
Nothing
super exciting, but I'll be there for like 4 days. You know, I'm gonna vlog it for the Patreon. We're gonna have a good time.
Beautiful.
Hoping to see.
I heard the Patreon people get to decide every location you go to. Like, you're not able to make a turn without them giving you the okay.
I could do something along those lines, but not like every decision.
It's like, all right, we're here in Magic Kingdom.
What should I do next?
They're going to send you through Country Bears 10 times in a row or something like that.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah, see, the friends that I'm going with would just be like, okay, you're on your own. Bye.
See ya.
Love it. Well, that's exciting. I'm pumped. Can't wait to see it.
In that same vein, I'm back at the parks because I left the softball temporarily just in case, you know, your girl gets fired. So,
hey.
So hopefully that won't happen, but
oh gosh,
I hope not. But for now, I'm at the parks. So woohoo.
It's the countdown.
AJ, what is going on right now in your life? Because you look amazing.
A lot.
You guys, so for those of you, obviously this is like last week's live, but for those of you listening to last week's live, you got to hear all my dilemmas about what I'm going to dye my hair as. Right now, I'm currently dyeing the fronts and the bottoms a little bit more platinum, and I'm going to wash it out in about 7 minutes and 4 seconds and see what it looks like. So
Don't leave it in too long. Okay. Get caught up in recording the episode.
Honestly, then it's going to be purple, and I'm going to have to shave my head. Not really. I just hate purple.
Oh, wow.
Yikes.
Britney Spears, she's losing it.
I'm losing it. It's fine.
She's losing your mind.
What an
opportune time. Midterms and getting fired does to you.
Oh, no. And here
anyway,
all right. And happy episode. This is the happiest podcast on earth.
Yeah,
craziest podcast on earth. I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-oh.
All right, everybody else good? Yeah. I got a few things per usual.
All right. Do it.
This week's listener of the week goes to Christina Ann. Christina has been a longtime listener, constantly makes us laugh and smile with her input on questions we ask. She is always willing to give us her input on future episode suggestions, different topics, ideas, and more. She is fantastic. She is one of our Patreon members. So this is well deserved. So congratulations.
She's my toaster sister. You guys don't know what that means, toaster but she sister. Will.
My brave little toaster. Right. Congratulations, yeah, Christina.
Christina, I mean, she is just so annoying with all these episode suggestions.
Yeah, why would we?
No, I'm just
kidding.
I met
her in a Disney subgroup of another podcast that we listen to, and they have a Disney subgroup. And I'm pretty sure we talked about our podcast one day, and then it kind of just became this internet
friendship. And hey, if y'all are on Patreon, you shoot some episode suggestions our way, kind of like Christina did. You might just get your idea featured. Might be listener of the week. You never know.
Bingo. Or take pictures in front of country bears, because a lot of people have got
listener of the week for that too. That's the easy thing. We're not going to start.
I actually had another person anymore. Because today she tagged us in front of country bears.
People are like, all you have to do is take a picture in front of country bears and you get featured on the Happiest Podcast.
Every time.
To hijack that and be like, if you get Galactic Hero, we'll feature you.
Oh. Hey, take a picture.
Wait, that's my exciting news, guys. Wait.
You got Galactic Hero?
What else?
Not only
new?
Did I get Galactic Hero, I got them on both blasters. I got both blasters.
Wow. Okay, that's impressive. That's impressive.
Really
double
impressive.
Blaster action.
I literally got Galactic Hero for the first blaster, and I'm only good on the left side, like the right hand side. Got it for the first blaster in the first room, and I was like, I might have a shot.
Is it because the knee was broken?
Hang on. I have a question.
What?
Did you stop in that first room?
No. The robot was working. We didn't break down. I just kept on it.
At a girl.
I was so happy, that's you guys. Amazing. And the guy at the counter that I got my Galactic Hero sticker from did not share my enthusiasm. But then, you know, I went to the Buzz Lightyear meet and greet and like posted up and took a bunch of pics. So that will be coming to an IG near you pretty soon with bragging rights. Ay.
You know what? You know what would be fun and we should do, because this podcast will obviously go on forever and ever.
Forever.
We should every year, or at least like this year, like the end of this year, I think we should have like a draft of all the attractions. And if your attraction ends up like getting refurbed or like changed or like canceled out, there needs to be a penalty.
You pick an attraction that's going to last?
Like you try to pick, or we do that where we try to pick attractions that we think will get like taken out first.
Ooh.
Oh.
And whoever's out first has to get blackout on an episode.
Because that is an attraction that gets, I think, will be gone soon.
Could you imagine? You're like, I pick People Mover. And then the next episode, you literally have to just black out because People Mover is probably not coming back.
Oh my gosh. There will be something. We will figure that out. That would be fun. Anyways, cool. Congratulations, AJ. That's awesome. I can't even do it with one.
Congrats on the Galactic.
I can't ever get it. I've never gotten it.
I'm terrible at
those
games.
Oh my gosh, it's the easiest thing to do.
I'm terrible at all of those. Dude.
I know like one spot, the volcano.
Just let me know whenever y'all get the best this hour in Toy Story Mania.
Oh yeah, no, that's never going to happen with me. My arm will
pop off.
Oh,
you've
been there. But just saying, right. I'm just saying.
Disney, fact of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Over 500 trees around the Walt Disney World theme parks started as acorns from the Liberty Oak that you can find as the centerpiece of Magic Kingdom's Liberty Square.
That's really cool. Can I
throw in another fact? Are you adding a fact about the Liberty Tree?
Oh, yeah.
Are you?
I don't know why we've been really going at the Liberty Square lately.
I was about to say
lately.
Something.
So, all right, keep going.
Have we already said it? Because I don't think I was on last week.
It was the poop.
No.
Okay.
All right. There is an exact. They're either on the clone or there is an exact clone of the Liberty Tree in case something happens to it.
What?
So they're just going to like rip out the dead one and throw in the new one?
I know that they moved the one that they have there. They moved there by like drilling a hole through it and sticking like a beam and picking it up. And then it almost died. Because the way they filled the beam back in, but then they saved its life. But I don't
know. There is an exact replica. Clone of the Liberty Tree.
Sitting in Fort Wilderness somewhere, just next to someone's RV.
I learned that on my... Well, actually, I hope I'm not going to get in trouble for saying this. But I learned that on my parade introduction day.
Nice.
They tell you where it is?
Well, you have to walk the route, and then
you my trainer down in the middle of the night
gave me that hint, that little tip. So that's kind of cool.
That's cool. That's a great fact. Thank you, Andrew. And we will not go over our favorite margaritas because we've learned that people don't
Blackberry.
Like
them. I'm offended. Classic. I'm offended. I'm going to talk about La Cava de Tequila till the day I die. So. And Dockside Margaritas.
People, let's see some good reviews on Apple Podcasts. We get a lot of good ones, like barely any bad ones.
It was still a good review.
It was still a good review, but we were just dying laughing. Someone does not like us talking about our favorite margaritas. And well, we love that person.
We don't need
you. Your honest feedback, but this is a shout out to you, whoever said that.
I also think me and Corey are weird, and I just want
that part too. I guess
that is just a normal review. I don't know what you're
weird,
talking about.
But it's what they say. You're weird, but it's cool.
In a cool way.
They're
weird
so
in an interesting way.
I want to know what that means.
I don't know. I didn't know.
I'm curious about, like, do you mean weird in, like, a bad way or a fun way? Because I'm totally cool the fun way. But if it's like, oh, that's the girl you avoid, like, I just want to know. I want to know the vibe I'm giving off here.
That's what happens when you read the comments.
Yes, that's why I don't. That's why I do not.
That is classic. All right, so before we get started, a reminder that today's episode is brought to you by Pixie Vacations. If you are planning on taking a trip to a Disney destination soon or down the road, whether it is Disney World, Disneyland, Alani, Disney Cruises, or Adventures by Disney, make sure to contact me, Jarrett Fenema, by emailing me at jarrettfenema@pixievacations.com. Planning with me is completely free, ladies and gentlemen, so holler at me if you are looking to start planning your next Disney vacation. I hope to talk to you all soon. Hunter, take it away.
Ho ho, it is good! No, I'm just kidding. It's my day. As we said earlier, we got this episode idea given to us by one of our Patreon listeners, Christina. Thank you for the suggestion. I don't know if we're going to call this like Super Size Me Disney or Worth It or what, but you'll probably have seen the title when you click on the video. But we're going to be talking about kind of upgrades that you can do to your Walt Disney vacation, whether that's park hoppers, resort-wise, in the parks, all kinds of stuff. We're going to go through, we're going to talk about each one, kind of see what you get, and then at the end, we're going to see how much it costs and see if all those benefits are actually worth it. So, let's get right into it. The first one we're going to talk about, when you're visiting Disney parks, they get you on one thing. When you get your park tickets, you're like, I got my park tickets. I'm ready to go. I'm going to go see all the parks. And they're like, no, hold on a second. You only get to go to one park a day. That's the worst thing. I know, right? So you can get a park hopper option. It's $69 for one day about. These are all approximate. So about $69 for one day, $79 for 2 to 3 day tickets. And that's like $79 and you get a park hopper for those 2 or 3 days. And $90 flat rate for any 4 day or longer ticket. I think having the park hopper option, especially when Disney goes back to like its normal kind of operating way, when the parks are open longer, it's definitely a must because you might go to a park, you might leave, decide in the middle of the day you want to do something else, or especially if you're there for more than 4 days and you're not just doing a park a day, it's nice to have that flexibility. But what do you guys think?
I was going to say, if it's the 4 days or more, it's definitely worth it.
Yeah.
Maybe even the three. It depends on what you're doing for the one. I mean, sometimes if you're only there for 1 day, you kind of only have time to do one park, depending on how much you're really trying to do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And you'll usually always only do, I mean, not a lot of people will get to 3 parks in a day, I think.
No. Like, watch four. Me.
When you,
I mean, I've done it, but that's because I have an annual pass.
But if it's like, yeah, if you don't go a lot and you're just trying to like enjoy the parks, usually the people who go to 3 parks know they're doing this at one, this at the next, that at the other.
And, yeah.
But yeah, usually 2 parks is a pretty full day.
Yeah.
I personally think, though, park hopper is the absolute most worth it of anything because I think every other park, with the exception of if you really want to do the Galaxy's Edge stuff because of Rise and the boarding pass, you can do 3 of the parks in half a day. if you play it smart, you can do three of the parks in half a day. The only one you really can, if you want to hit everything, is Magic Kingdom. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah. You can do an Animal Kingdom morning, Epcot evening. You can do an Animal Kingdom morning, Studios, you know, whatever you want. Now, right. Personally, I always recommend ending at Epcot, but you could start there if you really wanted to. I know there are some.
There's not a lot going on in the mornings.
Yeah, everything's closed.
Get your rides. Do your rides in the morning.
Epcot is the one that people park hop to, pretty much. I bet that's like the one that most people will park hop to.
It's the one park that is always more crowded at night than during the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And I think it depends on your how long you're on vacation too. Like I do think you could spend each park, you could spend, especially if you don't go a lot, you could spend a whole day at each park. And I would say, you know, like Magic Kingdom's the one you definitely probably would want to spend maybe 2 days if, you know, there's just so many rides and if you're trying to see characters and all this. Which right now, by the way, with COVID, you can't even do a park hopper, can you?
No, nope, you have to stay.
Yeah, right. But this is like but once it gives
in a normal time,
yeah, in a normal moment.
But yeah, like Epcot would be a day. I think Animal Kingdom, you could probably get a day. Studios, maybe 2 days. So like that park hopper, maybe you could do for like a day and pick like Studios for half, Magic Kingdom for half, and that could like round out your. Whatever, 5 days of
parks.
Yeah, I would especially recommend it with Animal Kingdom just because Animal Kingdom, I believe, is a park you can do in 3 hours, if not.
If you're just an attractions person, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. But also, like, be wary of, like, how many people are in your party, like, little kids, things like that, because it is a trek. I mean, unless you're going from MK to Epcot or vice versa and you're taking the monorail, you got to walk back to your car. You got to take that bus ride. You got to do this. You got to do that. And, like, that on its own is tiring. I'm sorry. I hate that.
Oh, yeah.
But other than that, park hopper is so worth it.
But yeah, I was a diehard park hopper guy. Like, we would always get them when my family visited. But now I kind of look at it, and I don't – like, me personally, I don't know if I would. I don't know if I need a park hopper anymore.
Really?
I think I actually would just enjoy – I'd rather go, like, 4 or 5 days and do one park days than spend the same amount of money for – whatever, 3 or 4 days and hop around. It's busy. It takes time to get to the other parks. Whereas like Animal Kingdom, it might not take all day, but guess what? All right. I can maybe go back to my resort and enjoy lunch or the pool for a little bit and go back or have a nice dinner or lunch and get to relax and enjoy it. It's less chaotic to me to have to like park hop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you wanted to see like a nighttime show that, you know, like if you're at Animal Kingdom, you don't have to see Rivers of Light. So it does help like, all right, shoot, we can go see Happily Ever After again or
right.
Who knows what, but
right.
I don't know.
To be fair,
I don't think I need it. It's not a bad option though.
Yeah. I'm not the best one to speak towards it because my grandparents worked there growing up. So I was never like having to pick the option. It was just kind of always what we did, but definitely we always used it. I feel like, and it's just nice knowing that you can do it. But then again, if you have the park hopper option, you decide like, oh, you're behind and you need to stay in this park. You kind of feel like you just wasted that because you had to buy it. But anyways,
I don't know. If you're going on a vacation to Disney, like
it's best to have the flexibility.
Yeah. You need flexibility. Like, I don't know. I've never regretted having it because there'll be times where we did everything we wanted to do in one park and we're like, let's just hop over here because look at the wait times. Like, I don't think it's a harmful thing to have. If you're already spending the thousands on a vacation to Disney,
right?
Just do it.
Yeah. For sure. Which I'll kind of lead this into the next one. So those park tickets do get expensive. Is it worth getting an annual pass if you're not living in Florida? My kind of rule of thumb on this has always been like, if you're going to be there more than like 2 trips, then you might as well just get an annual pass. But what is y'all's kind of rule of thumb on it? What have y'all thought?
I think if you get it more than once, if you go more than once a year, an annual pass is worth it.
If you go for more than once a year for like 4 days.
Yeah.
Depending on, well, I also have to remember, I don't know how much annual passes are when you're not a Florida resident.
Yeah, are we talking there prices 11, yet or no?
Oh, I don't know. The first one I did give prices away, but this one,
I think right now it's like $1,100.
But either way, generally, I think If you go at least two significant trips a year, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And honestly, if you plan your trip around blockout dates and stuff, you can do an annual pass for even cheaper if you do just a gold.
Versus I have a silver.
Yeah, a silver or a gold.
Because I usually don't go the 2 weeks of Christmas and then the hot months of summer, which is when it's blocked out. So yeah. I'm available all spring. And
so can you so with a an annual pass, tickets, it's tickets to the park. What are the other perks? Are there other perks that like could make it worthwhile?
Well, like, say you go two trips. Get, like your annual pass. You get like discounts, your discounts, right? Yeah,
yeah.
Get your discounts.
For gold, you get photo pass. Usually photo I'm pass. Either with one of my girlfriends who has gold or my mom who has gold. And so I just never upgraded. I probably should do it. But photo pass is a big one, especially if you have a big family and you have young kids. A lot of people love that you can get that.
Right, right.
That's nice.
Yeah, well, the Park Hopper, or not the Park Hopper, the annual pass, they have their platinum pass is what, if you're a non-resident, I think you have to get. Because if you're a Florida resident or DVC member, you can get like the platinum or the gold or the silver or the weekday.
Yeah, all or the Epcot ones. After four.
So Epcot many. After yeah. four, which is just for those drinkers.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm looking right now, and I have, I think it's a five-day ticket. It is $519. And then the platinum pass is $1,200. So if you're going two trips for 5 days a year,
about the same,
you probably need to look in just do an annual pass. Then you can get some dining discounts, all that kind of stuff. One and thing,
you get pictures for free.
Oh, wow.
Yeah! All of your, if you're a annual pass holder, you get all your pictures on your My Disney.
Yeah, experience. Yeah, yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom. Don't have to buy that memory maker, which we will talk about later.
We'll get there. We'll get there. And one other cool thing is a water park hopper annual pass, $139.
Yeah, it costs the same as going 2 days. So if you plan on going more than 2 days, then get the water park one. Like and if you get the platinum plus annual pass, you get to go to the water parks anyways. So
Oh yeah.
You can guess which one you're going.
That's a pretty penny there. Yeah. All right. Well, good deal, guys. So next, we can talk like deluxe versus value versus off property kind of resorts. Kind of what are y'all's thoughts on those? Like, obviously your deluxe, you know, the Monorail Loop and then all those other ones. And then value, I'm kind of thinking like All Star Art of Animation level, which Art of Animation still can get pretty expensive.
Great hotel.
And then off property, you can stay anywhere from like the Holiday Inn to the Four Seasons. So what do y'all think?
I think there's a time and place for all of them.
Okay.
What if you're going for one, like, I don't know, a quick weekend down or just a few days, or if you have kids, I think that the values are great. I think of my childhood and I think of the values. I absolutely love them. They're fun. There's kids everywhere. I think the deluxe resorts are great for special occasions or if you only come down once every few years. Mm-hmm. And then I think the moderates are always just a great option. I actually really love some of the moderates. They're a little out of the way sometimes, but I think there's a time and place for all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
For me, when I was a kid, we always planned our vacations around, well, for the longest time, they didn't have EMH, which is Extra Magic Hours for those of you that don't know. Mm-hmm. And then when they introduced Extra Magic Hours, we definitely planned our trips around. We would usually stay off property in one of the condos that we had.
Yeah.
That was then. Okay. Now, not so much. And let me tell you why. Because yes, they are significantly cheaper. So if you're looking on like a price thing, absolutely. However, between the Extra Magic Hours and the conveniency, as well as just an updated resort, some of those, like where we stayed when I was growing up, I just wouldn't stay anymore.
Oh yeah. You get outside of Disney property, there's some sketchy places.
Those 192 resorts that were pretty nice in like the 90s, early 2000s.
King Hotel.
Never stay there.
Nickelodeon Hotel, whatever happened.
Corey knows.
Corey knows King Hotel or something.
The Nickelodeon Hotel is now a Holiday Inn right next to where I used to live. But we used to stay at this place, Star Island, which is right next to the intersection of 535 and 192. But we would always stay at least 2 days in a Disney resort. They'd either be at the very beginning or the very end before we would do our Universal stuff. Now, I'm going to be honest. If you can afford it, do Disney. do if you have a smaller family, value's more than fine. You're gonna get that magic still. Moderate's also great if like money's not necessarily an issue, but you're also like, I don't feel the need to spend so much on a deluxe. It's just a good hotel room. Yeah, and right, then deluxe, right, like to attest to what Lauren said, if you have either the money to splurge or whatever, it's like a weekend trip with you and your significant other, you know, you splurge on a deluxe. But honestly, agreed, like if I'm a family vacation right now, get either the Art of Animation suite or one of the suites in All-Star Music. Those are the ways to go.
Cabins.
Yeah.
No, cabins. I'm a cabin guy.
I love the cabins. And sometimes you don't spend that much time in your room sometimes. So.
No, you don't. No.
Some people really.
Most of the time you don't. Yeah. You might spend a day at your pool and maybe like.
I literally go to our rooms, like get ready and sleep.
Yeah, that's about it. I don't know. My dad still, I think one of my favorite quotes he's ever said is, Melinda, you know why people spend so much money on these hotels? I'm like, why? And he goes, because it's on the monorail and it's worth it. Like the one reason that
transportation. Convenience. Yeah. Transportation is a big thing you'll get just from staying at any on-property resort. And I think like the All-Star and the Art of Animation and Pop Century, they make up for being a value with like how many buses they have like going through and out of those places.
The amount of people that have to go in and out constantly. Yes. They need to
but one thing, like Contemporary, we stayed at Contemporary at Bay Lake Tower this last time. It was awesome, but they only have one bus stop and there's a bus that comes like every half hour for each park. And it's just like, you're waiting so long. And I just sat there. I'm like, I kind of wish I was that like All-Star where a bus is there every 15 minutes. But yeah, so that's where transportation is another big thing, like not to overlook. And then obviously, if you're in a resort that has direct monorail access, that's just cool. Boat transportation is another cool thing, and like the Epcot resorts and all of that. But that's a a thing to look into as well. I will say, if you're looking at like straight value, you're trying to go the cheapest you can possibly go, staying at a value resort in Disney ranges from like $118 to $254. You get like Holiday Inn at like $105 to $282. Like you're going to find
pretty
much the cheapest room in the Orlando area, unless you're staying at Andrew's looking at me funny. Unless you're staying at like a really sketchy, you know, $50 a night motel or whatever it is.
Yeah.
The Magic Castle on 192.
Don't stay at the Magic Castle. It's not worth it.
But then if you're staying at, let's say, a Holiday Inn or, you know, even I will say I love the Springs resorts, like the hotels.
Those are, that's a good district.
I've stayed there so many times because I've said this before. We book so many of our trips last minute and we can't get in sometimes. Those are actually really great. You can walk to Springs. Great options. They still have, you know, official buses kind of, but what I was gonna say is if you're gonna stay off property for, you know, the same price as you would stay at a value resort, you're gonna have to pay for parking or an Uber or, you know, just the stress of trying to get somewhere. You at that point, if it's similar in price, you might as well just stay on property.
Stay at Disney.
True Magical, Magical Express too.
Magical safety Express. Safety as well.
Safe. A lot of security.
Definitely.
Don't have to worry about anything. When if you're walking around at some of those downtown Orlando Holiday Inns or Motel Sixes, it might get a little sketchy.
This might sound really bad, just super quick to attest to this. When I go to Disney, whether it's the park or a resort or something, like I always lock my car. Like I'm good about that. But I don't feel like I need to worry if I locked my car or not when I'm in Disney. Anywhere else in Orlando, whether it's Universal or one of the hotels on somewhere else, like I'm like, oh, did I lock the car? I better go double check kind of deal.
It's very true. Like,
so I hope, I hope none of the listeners are going to see park your car.
They're going to be like, huh.
He didn't lock it. Hold on. Yeah. Let me, to all of you listening, please still lock your car. Please
do watch it.
All-Star Sports. My bag was stolen. It had a lot of my wallet, my phone. There are still scumbags out there that still take advantage of Disney because people do trust Disney so much more, and they should.
Yeah.
Because their security is so well done.
I mean, you've people leaving strollers with thousands of dollars of stuff worth in it. You
know, that's the thing. They'll leave their kids. They'll leave their kids in their strollers sitting around.
Y'all have heard my story. They will leave their babies.
They will. They don't. They just put them down. They're like, what? They can't just sit here. It's like, no.
No. Just leave the that little flippy lock deal on your hotel room door, just so it props it open. Just leave it like that all night. You know, you don't have anything to worry about.
No biggie. No biggie at all.
Don't do that. So
don't do that. You're giving.
So I guess we could all say off property to like an on site value resort is kind of worth it.
Worth it. Worth it.
On site for sure.
Yeah, so, unless you have some really good deals. Like, unless you have, like, I know people in news, some corporations give out, like, really good discounts on hotels around Disney.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can get it really, really cheap. But, like, right, they're usually partner hotels with Disney. So, unless it's a partner hotel and you're getting a really good deal, just stay on property. It's worth it.
Yeah, yeah. And then, if you're looking deluxe at Disney, you're looking at $600 to $1,200 a night. Exceeds that probably in peak season for all kinds of stuff, but like we said, there's a time and place for it. If you've got the means to do a deluxe every time, by all means, it's awesome.
I want to be friends with you, whoever you are.
Right, I do feel like out of all the deluxe, Contemporary might be kind of the biggest ripoff in a way that
agreed.
Absolutely. If you don't get the main tower,
And it doesn't have a lot of styling. But like, we went to Riviera to eat dinner, and I would stay at Riviera. Like, I think Riviera is probably the nicest rooms on property.
See, my thing is, dude, is when I go to Disney, I want a Disney feel. And some of these deluxe and some of these newer resorts, I don't feel like I'm getting a Disney feel, especially the Riviera. The Riviera literally looks like the nicest hotel you can think of. But they were like, oh, shoot, we're at Disney. We got to.
And they threw up some mosaics.
Some paintings in the hallway to be like, you're at Disney.
True, true.
That's my only thing. Sorry. Continue.
Dak Lodge, though, that's pretty Disney, maybe.
I would agree. I would say most of it.
It's got the theming down.
Yeah.
With the architecture as a whole, I think you can get a Disney feel from it and stuff. Yeah. But like that literally just feels to me like when I'm inside, just like a Marriott.
Grand Floridian is classic. Love. But again, like one of these things with the deluxe, I would feel robbed. Like I've stayed at Poly and you're in one of the buildings a half mile down the road that's not even anywhere near
Poly. Oh, yeah.
Like, it's literally like a Pop Century building where you walk through the sliding door into the hallway. And
that's like Contemporary when they give you like that side building
and it's the garden view.
Are you kidding me? I was looking at the parking lot.
Like I wanted to be looking at the monorail driving through the tower.
It happened to us and it's the worst. It was like,
if you're booking, if you're booking a Contemporary resort, make sure you do not get a garden view.
Do not,
because you will be in one of the side buildings and you are better off paying to stay at Pop Century. And I'm not joking.
Do they upsell for a garden view, or is that like their base?
It's their base. So you always have to upsell. When we were going to get, when they moved us from the Poly to the Contemporary
a couple months ago,
I had to double check and they're like, hey, we're going to move you over here to the Contemporary. And I was like, it's not, it's in the main tower, like Bay Lake. Right. And they're like, oh yeah, you're in the main tower. I was like, okay, cool. Because like, I want you to find something else for me if it's going to be garden view. Cause I would rather stay. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I would rather stay in All Star.
You're a long walk from the bus stop at garden view. I mean,
it's bad. It's,
I would say that is the deluxe. That's probably the least worth it.
Yeah.
Out of
I don't know. Like I said, I'd stay at Grand Flow again.
Grand Flow is nice. It's very nice.
Mm-hmm. Rip.
all right. So moving on, you know, you go to these busy park days and peak times, you're waiting in these long lines. Maybe you've never been before. You have no idea what you need to do to maximize your time. Well, you can get a VIP tour, minimum 7-hour tours led by your own. Are they guest services? Is that?
It's own service now.
Yes. It is its own? Okay.
So technically, it is a wing of guest service. So like if you work in guest services, you can get cross-trained in VIP tours. They got the plaid vests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can get cross-trained in it, but it's like if you worked at Jared, like working in...
When I did guest relations, that was like a big thing, is like guest relations could also like could then become tour guides, but then they kind of shied away from that, and then it turned into almost anybody could do tour guide. So even like college program, like college interns could come in.
Yes, it's a professional.
Yeah, there's a lot of. I was up for one of those internships.
Internship now, which so it's different, but still, it's go ahead, Hunter.
So before you were like the aliens from Pizza Planet, the guest relations people is like he has been chosen for VIP tours.
It was a really big deal to get. Yeah. That was a dream job. It's still my dream job actually, is to like work that.
Yeah,
but I think it was because at that time it was literally you had to put your time in and then maybe, just maybe, you could get that like spot. And then it was kind of disappointing once I started hearing like all these people just started getting it on internships. I'm like, really?
Still
an amazing position, but go ahead, tell everyone what it is.
Yeah. So basically we won't get into costs because I know that's probably the thing that makes people obviously say it's not worth it. But what you get with the VIP tour is you get to go skip lines. You have your own private tour guide who takes you around. One thing that they do on these, so my wife actually had the opportunity to be in one of these when she went for a family shenanigans. So they kind of send like a checklist out before your tour, and you can check, we like Space Mountain, we like Thrill, we like this, we don't like Haunted Mansion. And you basically send it to them, and then they put it all together and they say, okay, well, we're going to take this route. We're going to start here, meet here, and we're going to end over here. And then this is where the families can split. Kids can go to Peter Pan while the adults go to Seven Dwarves and that kind of stuff. So they kind of split you up and do stuff like that. So it's like a really tailored experience, and it's, you can make what you want out of it. One thing that she did say is that it didn't feel like she did a lot compared to like running around just as cast members and just, you know, knowing the ropes and using the fast passes and doing all that kind of stuff. It's kind of a slower pace just because you're just doing each of those things kind of in turn. It's very scheduled. I think you get private transportation from like back entrances in the parks. Correct me if I'm wrong, if any of y'all know that for sure.
They'll shuttle you, depending on your spot and stuff, they'll shuttle you like right to, you know, like by Kilimanjaro Safari. You didn't have to walk all the way to the park. You could park right by Kilimanjaro Safari.
You basically enter at like the backstage portion, and then you're on, you're out. Yeah.
Certain entrances, backstage, you know, all that. In and out.
It's definitely something where if you have a family and you just don't have to do anything at all, it's just basically having someone take care of your vacation for you. So,
right.
Any of y'all ever been on a VIP tour you'd like to speak of?
I have.
No.
Oh.
it was a test run for one of the new tour guides, but but still it's unbelievable. Literally, I mean, very knowledgeable cast members. They'll take you through, they give you like really cool facts, but it's more just, I mean, we want to go here. Okay, I'm going to take you there. Boom, they get you in, and then they're waiting for you when you get off the ride. All right, where do we want to go next? If you have like a dinner reservation that you want, like while you're on the rides, like they're sitting there trying to modify. All right, like, you know, I know they wanted a 12:30 at Tusker House. They're going to sit there and work their tail off. And usually with tour guides, you can kind of finagle some
say where you want to go.
Just yeah, like, you can kind of slip your way in at a 12:30 because they know that you're paying just absolutely insane money, which we'll go over that soon. But so it's an unreal service. It really is. There's a reason why it's just people that are loaded with money, but at the same time, like you can do so much in a day by using this service. And again, you get to talk to quality cast members that, you know, they know their stuff, they've been working there a while, or they just, you know, they're trained very, very well. So there's that. But it was a blast when I did it.
We'll throw in the cost and we'll say, you know, we can all think if it's worth it or not. So $425 to $650, that's per hour with a 7-hour minimum. So you're looking at around $3,500 for 7 hours.
Nope.
No.
How many people?
More? Is it more?
I'm saying I would not do that.
Oh. $3,500. I don't know. Is it like a,
it's like three annual passes I can buy.
But is it like a 5-person max per I believe
it's 10 people per guide.
10 people? Okay.
Yeah.
See, if you every go in with like a people. Family, like two families go in and split that.
Yeah. If you've got some friends.
If we went as a podcast,
that would be
split it up. What is there? There's seven of us.
Yeah. Okay. That? Okay. So we got $700
a person.
No, just five bones a person.
Oh, $500 a person.
Five bones.
Let's do it.
Or you know, if you're in.
Okay, we can use our sponsorship money for that.
I will listen.
Thanks, Patreon.
Listen, this is where we really hype up Patreon. We have a top
like
tier.
If you guys didn't know about it, we have a Patreon.
Moving on now.
Yeah.
You know, no, but I really wanted to buy the bite the bullet. You get 12 of them per year if you're a part of Club 33. So like,
yeah,
when one of us gets rich and famous and is in Club 33.
But they do pick you up from your resort. They literally do everything. They'll pick you up from your freaking airport. Like when you fly in, they'll pick you up.
So let me just say, before I was like, no way, this is worth it. But you know, as a podcast, split seven ways,
500
for
is
7 hours,
bad.
Just like rolling around with the podcast tees, and
ultimate
I think it'd be
content.
Worth it. It's something that you got to do. You got to do once. It's not worth it to do every trip you go.
Oh,
but
no.
If you have
that'll be a goal down the road for us.
It would be worth it. If you have a group, you can split up the cost. You probably still have to tip the guide at the end, which is probably what? Can you? You tip those
you
guys.
You can
right?
now. Yeah. It is a tip position.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They
yeah.
make
splitting up,
yeah, they make good money.
If you're by yourself, it probably is not the smartest investment. Sorry.
Yeah, agreed. All right.
So, yeah. All right, moving
there you
on.
Go.
Staying on tours, they have a bunch of behind-the-scenes tours that are more affordable, we'll just say. There's the Behind the Seeds at the Land, the Keys to the Kingdom tour, which is kind of the famous one in Magic Kingdom. There's Savor the Savannah, an evening safari experience, which is a private safari at the Animal Kingdom Lodge that includes dinner at Juco, what is that restaurant called?
Juco.
Where's the J? Juco?
Juco.
Yeah, it has a...
Juco.
It's like junior college.
Juco.
Yeah. I know, that's what I was thinking.
No,
Juco the cooking place or whatever. Yeah.
And then the most expensive one, I won't say what it is the Ultimate Day of Thrills, which I haven't heard of before.
I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
I'm not
just
too
thrill rides, the big ones.
Sounds like it's right up
it's
your
like,
alley.
It's like... I don't know with like Rise now and stuff, but it's like Rock and Roller Coaster Everest.
It's like a discount VIP tour.
Yeah, the mountains, like.
Okay.
Yeah.
So have any of y'all had any experience doing like those little extra tours?
I've done Keys to the Kingdom.
Really? How was that?
I loved it. We waited. It was something my parents and I always wanted to do. But I think you have to be 16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
16 or 17.
Accompanied.
Because it, you know, it goes behind the scenes and, you know, they're worried about, you know, taking away some of the magic for someone younger. You have to understand kind of what's going on. I loved it. I thought it was so fascinating. I mean, I don't think I would know. I mean, I guess I would because the internet now, but
yeah.
It was still a really cool experience. And because I was never a cast member, spoiler, if you're new here, I'm the only one who's never worked there. That was my only chance to really see, you know, behind the scenes. So to me, yeah. I think it was worth it for our family.
There are some that I think would be very worth doing, like that Keys to the Kingdom that you're talking about. If you're somewhat of a Disney fan and just like the history of Walt Disney, well worth it.
Yes.
I think it's like 5 hours. You get to go underground, see the tunnels. Mm-hmm. You get to go behind the scenes of all these attractions. And again, those I say again all the time. Dang it. And those cast members that lead those tours are unbelievable. Like very well trained.
Yes.
And they know any question you throw at them, I swear they'll know. I thought that would be such a cool job too, but that's a good one. I don't know if you mentioned it, but like, I don't know why I never did this when I worked at Animal Kingdom, but caring for giants is it's $30, which is very cheap for Disney standards. But it's an hour tour and you get to just go behind the scenes basically and get up close to the elephants on the safari. And you have a guide that just talks to you about the elephants, and I think they do like a feeding and stuff. But
yeah.
$30, that's so cheap.
That is pretty good.
But then there are other ones like the thrill one that I don't know if that's worth it to do thrill rides. And I think that's pretty expensive, that one. But
yeah.
So I don't know, like $99 for Keys to the Kingdom tour for 5 hours. You get lunch, you get behind the scenes, you get, I think that's so worth it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. They've got like the behind the scenes for 20, Keys to the Kingdom 99, Savor the Savannah, which is the private safari for 169.
That ultimate is on my bucket list.
Ultimate Day of Thrills is $300.
That's a lot.
That's significant.
I don't think that's
worth it. But yeah, there's definitely some smaller ones that are a lot cheaper, like the behind the scenes, which I always rode Living with the Land, and I was like, how are those people doing that? And then you find out it's just $20. It does take a bit of time, which if you're already paying to get into the park, I guess that is one thing. And again, with Keys to the Kingdom, you still need park admission, right? I think.
So yes, you do. So I think if you're an annual pass holder or you go once or twice a year and you kind of know the parks and you do the same thing over and over, these are well worth it.
Yeah.
If you are a family or a couple or just by yourself and you never get to go to Disney and this is like a one-time thing, yeah, I don't know if I would do it because it does take a lot of time out of your day. These are all done during park hours. You still have to pay for a park ticket on top of what you're paying.
Yeah.
I don't know if that part's worth
it. I will say, since Savor the Savannah is not in the park, it would be worth it, say, if you had an off day where you don't have a park ticket and you're on a trip down there Kingdom. You pay $169. It's like another park ticket, but you get a private safari and you get dinner out of it.
Yeah.
And a drink, too, I think. I think you get a drink as well. But, they're really
cool.
That
one's on my bucket list for sure.
It's funny, though, because the only time – I've never done Keys to the Kingdom, but every time I work with Jack and I'm hanging out with him, I see them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, when I'm on lunch.
You just might see Jack Sparrow with a Subway footlong walking down
or a cup of coffee with some AirPods in.
best.
No, funny story. When I was 11, I went, because I was like really big into like the behind the scenes stuff then. And I went to, you remember do they still do Dive Quest at Epcot? I don't know if they do.
Yeah.
So
there's something
okay,
similar.
Okay.
So, I think.
Oh, we should have talked about those.
So I went to, I went up to a cast member one time that was working with one of the divers. And I go, hey, like, I was talking to my parents and I was just curious, like, how much is it to do like a backstage tour? And it was this guy, and I can't remember his name, but I remember the guy that gave me the tour, but he was like, are you going to be here any later this week? And I was like, we're coming tomorrow. And he was like, why don't you come by here tomorrow at like 2 PM? And he's like, you can bring your family or whatever. Just come by. And so I went there and I asked for the cast member. I said, hey, so-and-so told me to come here about a backstage tour. And so then this guy, Terry, came. And it was just me and Terry. I was 11 years old. And I got to do all the backstage stuff. And it was the coolest thing.
That's so cool.
You want to talk about, like, magic?
Yeah.
Like, to an 11-year-old?
That's sweet. I love that.
I got to go on top of the tank. And one of the divers was like, are you like scuba certified? And I was like, no, man.
I swear this story leads reality.
You
11 year old, are you scuba certified?
No, you can't.
Terry was some custodial that just.
No, he worked for DiveQuest.
Yeah.
But one of the people that were diving that day, she asked me, she's like, are you scuba certified? And I go, no, ma'am, I'm not.
She's like, yes.
And she was like,
you can get it as soon as you turn 12.
She was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, you could, she's like, I would have like totally like let you come down with us on our next dive tour. Cause they do like the Dive Quest stuff. They like take you down with all
that. Does that make you think of Boy Meets World? Cause it makes me think of Boy Meets World.
It was the coolest thing ever. And they gave me like these two like Epcot dive shirts. And like, it was just
the most
magical Disney experience.
That is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a true story. So Terry, if you're still at Epcot,
13 years later.
Seriously, I'm here. Come hit me up.
Ready to go diving.
I'm in entertainment. I'll go get certified tomorrow and we will go.
That's all right. All right. Well, yeah, those tours definitely worth it, I think, in most cases. Next, we'll kind of blend these two together, kind of upgrading eating in the parks from quick service to table service and like the Disney dining plan. So one thing I'll kind of weigh in first is that quick service is still a good option in a lot of places inside the parks. If you do table service, especially with the shortened hours in the parks now, you're spending a good little chunk of time of the park time at the table service place. But if you're in normal hours, it's pretty easy to fit it in. Dining plan, I was going to try the dining plan out for the first time this past month, but since it all this happened and it got canceled, we didn't do that. But have any of y'all done the dining plan? AJ?
Yeah. So yes. Something to be wary with the dining plan. When I was 10, we found out that I am considered a Disney adult. So we did the one where it was like you get X amount of snacks, X amount of quick service, and then like one table service per night. So we would always go to resorts and go to like the fancy table services because, you know, you're already quote unquote paying for it. And my parents were pretty furious because I was a picky child. I was 10. There's no way I should be eating what I was eating. But every single night.
10.
Yeah. Once you're 10, you're a Disney adult in terms of the dining plan. So literally every single night, and this was at Narcoosie's, I remember this. We were sitting there reading the menu and I was going through and I was like, you know, I want this. And my dad looks at it and it's surf and turf. I hate fish. Anything that comes from the ocean, lobster, crab, fish, whatever, I hate it. And my dad looks at me and he's like, you don't even like that. Like, you're going to hate this. It's just going to be steak for you. And apparently I looked at him and I was like, Dad, it's the most expensive thing on the menu, so I'm getting it.
Oh, there's but our that was AJ. The,
exactly. It started from a young age. So I will say the one thing that my parents always loved about that is it made me become a more adventurous eater. True. But, like, they had to pay so much more for me to not eat chicken nuggets. But, like, again, then at that point it's like, okay, I could still get the chicken nuggets, or I'm eating filet mignon from some of the best restaurants in Florida, if not the world. Wow. And so, like, that's the one thing that's really tricky with it is if you do have picky eaters who are around 10 or above, might not be so worth it for you in terms of table service, because then you're just going to be paying a huge chunk more for them to potentially still be eating chicken strips.
Yeah, I'm good with chicken strips and french fries.
That's a good point. I think our family has always been, we're kind of a quick service family. When we've gone, it's just quick service. Let's go. We need to get to the next attraction, and we're not like terribly picky, like you said. I think the only time we ever did eat just like super fancy like that, at least as like a family perspective, was when we had dining credits, and it was just like you said, it's free, so why not get it's kind of the same thing. I'm gonna look at the menu, what's the most expensive.
Exactly.
Go for it. I never get to do this.
And like, you can break it up too. So like, we would always end up with a ton of quick services left because, you know, we wait till our big meal. We're not hungry, whatever. Then you can break it up into snacks. And my family would be the crazy family buying a thing of luggage from Disney so that we could put literally tens and tens and tens, if not hundreds, of Rice Krispie treats in it and taking those Rice Krispie treats home.
And those snacks, that it doesn't seem like a lot, but at the end, you will sit there and be like, crap, we have 12 snacks left that we need to get. And say, like you said, guess what? We're buying 12 Rice Krispies and just bringing them home for no reason. Like, no reason.
I've done it. Go ahead, Jared. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You're good.
Oh, I was just saying. So I've done it. And then I've worked in food and beverage. Mm-hmm. So depending on where you go, yes. But you can do an adult dining plan. Like if someone's 10, they can get the adult meal. Or they can get a kid's meal. So it doesn't matter which, like if you're not that picky and stuff, like yes, but if you're in like a family of five and you only have one picky eater, I still think it's worth it. It's definitely worth it more now if you are a social drinker, because now you can replace your beverage, because they did away with like quick services having like a dessert and a side. Mm-hmm. So now you can do either a side, or like it all goes under side, or an alcoholic beverage. So every quick service, you can get a beer. Every time you go to a table service, you can get a beer or a glass of wine or something. And it's all under that dining plan. So I think it depends honestly on your party size and how much you as a family likes to eat and drink and stuff like that. Like my family was really big foodies, so we loved it and we thought it was great. And yes, you can transfer those quick services into three snacks, which is really, really good if you are a food and wine person. So let's say you and your significant other are just going for a weekend getaway and you want to do dining plan, you can do the package, like a quick service package, and just kill food and wine. And so, and then you still probably have some left over.
Yeah.
True. So if you're not going to want to eat it every single one, you guys might split something. True. So like you could try everything. So it's certainly worth it. And like, if you play it smart, it's worth it. If not, eh. And then there's the whole thing about the dining plan ruining the actual quality of Disney food, but that's its own thing. And yeah, that's not for this episode.
Not my problem.
That's to the Disney conspiracies episode, you know, coming up in a couple months. But anyways, so yeah, dining plan, like I said, I don't have any experience in, but could be worth it. Table service, quick service, just as your preference. A lot of people like to get the most bang for their buck in the park, so they go quick service because it's the least amount of time. Some people like AJ like to be bougie and sit at a table service and order
again,
the service.
Time and place for both. Private meals or a birthday, sure, sit down. But most of the time it's quick service or I just like to snack around.
Yeah, my rule of thumb is if I'm on a trip and I'm going in the parks for 4 days, I might do a table service on one of those.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do four table services.
I agree.
At least a couple times.
What I will say is like when you're going on a big trip, like when we go, we always do the dining plan. And when you are eating out at these extravagant places every night, your stomach starts to like revolt because you are walking in the hot sun all day and then you're eating all these really filling foods.
Eating heavy and Disney all day doesn't always mix.
Does not always mix. And there's going to be moments where you're really looking for a bathroom. So you just have to really, you got to space it out correctly or else you might be having some problems. But.
Or sometimes you just really do want that like simple cheeseburger and chicken nuggets.
Yeah, and that's all you need. Just, like, you don't want to have to sit through like an hour and a half of like, you know, filet mignon and surf and turf. You just want the cheeseburger.
Yeah. Well, the quick service dining plan's $55 a day. The deluxe, including table service, is like $120 a day. So definitely something to consider next time y'all go to the parks on your next trip. Next up here, I'm going to go kind of like to dessert parties, but also we're going to talk kind of Christmas and Halloween parties. So Christmas and
Halloween.
Christmas and Halloween parties, you do not need a ticket to get in. Those are like individual park tickets, right? Because they open the park at like 4 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah.
Their own ticketed event.
Yes.
Yeah. So but, like, if you wanted to go to the park earlier in the day, you couldn't unless you had a normal park ticket. But they do open up like, 4 o'clock, let's say, even if the party starts at 7.
Yeah. Yeah. And then say like dessert parties, like we did the dessert party in Launch Bay for the Hollywood Studios and stuff like that. You still need a park ticket. Mm-hmm. So when you look at it, I'll just say how much there is. Dessert parties are like $69 to $100 depending on which one you do. Christmas Halloween parties are like $94 to $140. If you do a dessert party and you're already paying for park admission, you're kind of paying more than doing like a whole Christmas party or Halloween party, which is interesting. Just for a little taped off piece of standing room for some fireworks sometimes. But Lauren, would you like to talk about Christmas parties in particular or Halloween parties? Since that is, you're the resident expert on Christmas.
I'm the resident Disney Christmas expert. I mean, obviously I'm going to say, I think they're 100% worth it because it's, you get to do things that you wouldn't see on a normal day in the park. There's shorter lines. I don't know. Obviously there's like the cookies and hot chocolate of it all. So you have to eat a lot of cookies if you really want to make it for that price. But I definitely think it's worth it. It is, if you love either of those holidays, it's definitely something special. Or even I've gone before to stay with a girlfriend and just done a Christmas party on a weekend in Orlando because you get to go into the park and do all these things and you can still, you know, get the shorter lines and do all the attractions if that's what you want to do. So it is like an alternative to a full day in the park. If you want to not go to a park that day, save a day for, you know, another day on your pass. But I definitely 100%.
And then other than like New Year's or 4th of July, you're not going to get perimeter fireworks typically ever unless you're at a Christmas or Halloween party.
Absolutely.
Right. And then do they do like on Halloween, do they do the perimeter fireworks for, or is it, it is a Halloween party on Halloween.
It's a Halloween party. This year since COVID, I don't know if it is, but I'm assuming they'll probably do something special, but I don't know.
Yeah.
And they weren't like true perimeter like the Christmas ones were, but I mean, they had like three or four extra like
speed
off spots, but it wasn't like you turn around and you're like, whoa, that's where the monorail should be. And all of a sudden there's a firework.
But there are characters you'll never see out on any other day. There's, you know, their own special fireworks, special stage shows. It's just a different experience. So if you really do love one of those holidays or you want something just special, I think they're definitely worth it. It's better than I think than like the dessert parties, which like you said, don't really do add that much to your day.
Yeah.
And to conclude, dessert parties, not worth it. Halloween not and Christmas it. Parties, worth it.
Worth it.
Dessert parties are unlimited drinks though, are they not?
Bingo.
Yeah, but they are for like an
they're
hour.
Little,
and a half.
They're a little watered down. Yeah.
You're not really getting that much out of it.
It's like a sangria pitcher. Whoever at Disney was like, we should start doing dessert parties, deserves the biggest raise ever because it's like $75 and those desserts cost nothing and then those drinks cost nothing.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. I will say, though, the Fantasmic one did not have refillable drinks.
Oh.
Once you sat down, you were stuck in your section because I took one of my friends to go do that for their birthday, and it was super cool. You got, like, a light-up glass and, like, this cute little dessert box, but then you just had to sit there like everyone else listening to the pre-Fantasmic music, and you just happened to be, like, dead center.
Listen, I will say this. Paying, you know, $70 to get lit with some Jawas in the launch bay, that's a once-in-a-lifetime awesome. Experience.
That's not a thing anymore.
Oh, well, you know what?
Yeah, he did.
Cool when I,
he
it was did cool it. When we did it. Yeah.
At the time, you did. Now, you get two Stormtroopers.
Oh,
okay.
Not as cool. But anyway, we're gonna hit on two more big ones here, and then we'll be done. But this one, you know, if you go to Disney and you want to just get the ultimate upgrade because Disney, you just think it's so awesome. It's your first time there and you want to go to Disney every year for the rest of your life and go to Disney resorts all over the world. You want to be a DVC member. You say, I'm signing the dotted line. I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
My family's a DVC member. I think Lauren's family. DVC,
yes.
AJ. So we got a couple DVC residents in here. I'll be honest. I haven't paid the bills for DVC. So I haven't seen that side of it. I've only enjoyed the spoils of getting to go on the trips. But I know it works kind of off a point system. Say, for example, you get 100 points in a year. You can borrow from the previous year that you don't use and the future year. So you can use like up to 300 points and you use those for resort rooms. I think sometimes resort rooms are like 20 points for like a Disney resort, just as an example. And then you can go all the way up to doing like an Alani full vacation for 300 points or something like that. You do that as like your 3-year vacation and that's what your DVC pays for. But What do y'all think about the DVC life?
So, we're all very passionate. I will say, so my family always travels with another family. Same kind of situation, family of four, kids are the same age as us. And they did not buy into the DVC, but my family did. And that family still like paid, like they did like the big rooms on the cruises. They like still came on to all the same stuff as us. But I remember this was probably 2-3 years ago. They sat down and they looked at like how much money they paid each for like different vacations, like DVC versus not, like upgrades versus not, et cetera, et cetera. And like my family by the end, granted we vacationed at least once a year for at least a week every single year. We saved literally thousands upon thousands of dollars doing the DVC and taking the points and doing this, doing that, getting the upgrades, than them just paying full out right out of pocket. And you get so many cool, like, exclusive things. And, like for instance, I know I've talked about this before. My family bought into Dackel, like, as soon as it opened, basically. And our name is on a tapestry now in the library, which is, like, super cute and exclusive. And, like, because we did that, we got to be the first ones to ride Everest. And we have, like, a cute little commemorative pin. We got to be the first ones to go through, like, the safaris that they do. Or, like, we got to do, like, one of the early morning safaris and then, like, the backstage safari stuff that they do at Dackel. You just get so many cute little, like, behind-the-scenes stuff, extra things, extra frills and whatnot because you are DVC. And plus, when people tell me welcome home when I go on property,
yes, that's my favorite. I'm also drinking a lot of free Diet Coke at the Epcot Lounge. Not enough to make up for DVC, but, you know, it's a person.
See, I can't get into the Epcot Lounge because it's my dad's name and not mine. I don't want to pay the
book beneficiary. Gotta have the parent with you. But yeah, they do have, is that the only lounge that they do have, or do they have another one?
I'm pretty sure that's the only one.
But yeah, you can go upstairs above
Figment. They are opening up a new one, though.
Yeah, you can go upstairs above Figment. Not a lot of people know about it, but it's like inside of that glass pyramid, and you can kind of sit in a bunch of chairs, plug your phone in.
Bring you snacks around.
Free snacks, free like fountain beverages and stuff.
Free coffee.
Computers up there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice place to unwind, especially like middle of summer. You're drinking around the world. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You just need to take a breather for a second. But you need to be like the primary DVC member in order to get in or be with one. So that's a big thing. In terms of getting it. Oh, what's up, Lauren? Okay. I'm just going to go through the price real quick. In terms of getting it, it's like $15,000 to buy in pretty much, which is pretty hefty, but it's worth it, I think, if you use it. If you're using it every year and you're using all your points, then you can have it pay for itself over the years. If like you're planning on the long run, starting a family, that kind of stuff. Not so much for the childless millennials out there, I don't think, but for those of you starting a family, it's definitely worth it, I think.
Because it lasts for like 50 years, I want to say.
Yeah, and I do know my parents wish they would have done it sooner.
And it transfers down, like if it's still going and stuff like that. So, yeah, really.
I'll be inheriting the DVC.
Really.
Same.
Cool. Yeah.
But I know, like you were saying, how you can do one big vacation with it. I know there's, you know, some people do that. But like when we went to Alani, I think we only went for 2 nights. We used points kind of that were rolled over, but we use it in the way that we'll do like a lot of little trips throughout the year. Yeah. You know, we'll go like 2 days here, 2 days there, 3 nights here. We'll try to do a different, I mean, our home resort is Boardwalk, of course, but we, you know, try to switch it up every time. And it works for us because we are last minute people that are, there's usually something available somewhere that we can get into. So there's different ways that you can use the DVC to your benefit. Like we don't use ours when we go on Disney cruise, we'll pay for it because it takes such a big chunk out of it. Then we wouldn't really be able to go, you know, use it in the parks, but.
No, for sure. Yeah. And I think we had like 6 people in the family. We did like 6 days at Alani. So that pretty much wiped it all out for 3 years, but Alani's really cool. And getting to stay at those DVC resorts, there's Alani.
Yes.
There's, what is it called? Vero Beach. Is that another
Vero one? Vero Beach. Yeah. There's one. And there's one at Hilton Head, I think.
Okay. Okay. I think Alani.
I've only done Alani.
Alani's definitely like the poster child. Like this is the ultimate DVC vacation.
It's a dream.
And it's really neat. It's really cool.
It's a dream.
Yeah, so I would say definitely worth it. Let's go through just one more here. This will be kind of the ultimate, I guess. So say you're just walking around by your lowly self in Walt Disney World, and you meet someone. You start chatting it up. Maybe you go on a couple rides. You go on the teacups together. You know, you're really starting to get to know each other.
Puking on a new friend.
Yeah. So you're really getting to know each other. You're just thinking it's like maybe this person is the one, and you know, let's just go over to the Grand Flow and upgrade to a Disney wedding, and I'll just throw it out there, $3,500 to $12,000, take your pick. You can have yourself a Disney wedding right there on your own vacation. Granted, disclaimer, it does take a little bit more planning. I'm sure you got a reserve window ahead.
There's no elopements.
It's not any. Disney would make a lot of money off of elopements now that I think about it.
Could you imagine?
Like Vegas style.
Wow.
Oh, it'd be like Vegas in there. Oh,
but instead of Elvis, it's Mickey.
They need to start a new business model.
You guys.
An ordained Mickey Mouse just stands there every 15 minutes. A new couple comes in and goes out, and they get like a little souvenir with like the ears and the button.
Oh, you know how many DCP kids would be getting married?
Oh, yeah, they'd be getting married. It would become a problem. Like
I would have been one of them. Oh, no. I gotta go.
But I don't know. $3,500 to $12,000. I don't know in terms of catering. I'm sure that's just to get the spot. I don't know if that includes catering or anything like that.
There's different levels.
There is.
My mom has always wanted me to get married at Disney. I've said this before. It's not my thing, I don't think. But my I have friends who've looked into it before, and they said it's actually reasonably priced for what you get. Like, if you're trying to do, like, a very custom wedding elsewhere, you're going to pay less at Disney and have everything planned out for you. But I've heard it's a very easy process. You know, there's someone basically holding your hand and helping you plan out every detail, where it's less work than you would for a normal wedding. So I will say I've heard it is worth it. Everyone's done it.
Said it's completely worth it. I have a friend whose friend is getting married in Disney. So, but they said that it's more people feel bad because they feel bad asking their friends and family. If you don't live in Florida, like, they're coming from wherever to get there. They feel more bad asking other people to spend money to get there. So they're going to keep theirs small, but I think it's worth it. Yeah. That sounds fun.
Well, I already know I'm not getting married in my hometown because I am not getting married to anyone from my hometown. So they're going to have to travel to Disney for my wedding. But if you guys want to, like, see more about it and hear more cute stories and more, like, details, Disney Fairy Tale Weddings on Disney Plus is my go-to way to cry because it is the cutest ever.
Oh, it is an easy way to get in your feels and cry it out.
Yes. It is a little cheesy at some points because it's like that staged, like, oh, hello, how are you today, yada, yada. But then you actually see clips from the wedding and it's so cute. Although I will say one little juicy detail about it. If they're filming, sometimes they will ask you if they can bring in extras for guests. Because, I mean, it costs a lot to have
Well, that's what I just said. Guest. Yeah, to have, like, guests, it's expensive. So they bring their own people.
They literally bring in extras and you can be paid to just, like, I follow this one girl on TikTok that's done it a few times. And she's like, yeah, I go to Disney weddings all the time. Yeah, I just stand there in the background. They tell me what to wear. And I'm like, if that was my wedding, like, of course I would love for to be on Disney Fairy Tale Weddings. Like, don't get me wrong, but I'd be like, no extras. I can just be your small wedding. It's fine.
Goodness. Well, I guess it's worth it. I was going to say definitely not. That's absurd. But I guess if you're looking at it compared to, like, typical stuff you'd do, how expensive it is anyway, might be worth it. But that's all I had to go through. I know this was a long episode, a lot of information out there. So if y'all are listening and y'all think of something you're coming across that you're thinking, is that a good idea to add or not, shoot it over to us. We'll give you kind of our opinion on it and hopefully provide some insight if one of us has done it before, if it's something that's definitely worth doing or a pass, or if there's something better that you can maybe spend that money or time on, we'll definitely let you know. But that's all I've got, Jarrett.
All right. Well, I want to thank all of you for being an amazing and supportive group of listeners that we enjoy interacting with, talking to, and building amazing relationships with. We wouldn't be able to do this if it wasn't for you all, so thank you for listening and being part of our Happiest Podcast on Earth family. Now remember, ladies and gentlemen, this is not goodbye. This is see you real soon. So we will talk to you all later. Please stay safe out there. Have a magical week. And ta-ta for now.
Bye, y'all.
Later. Bye, everybody.